Welcome to Bodcast, the Business of Dentistry podcast, brought to you by Practice Plan. Bodcast delivers the best business advice, real-life stories, and practical hints and tips to make your practice a more profitable and sustainable business. And now, here's your host.
Jones, I'm creative director at Practice Plan. Welcome to this latest podcast, and today we're talking about the dentist as an entrepreneur. I'm here with Dev Patel. Dev's a practicing dentist, but he's also a serial entrepreneur. Hi, Dev.
Hi there.
Dev, just to kind of give our listeners a little bit of background, just tell us a little bit about you and the kind of the business interest that you have within dentistry.
So I'm a current principal owner of Dental Beauty Swanley, which is a mixed practice in Kent. It's got four surgeries. I'm also an FD trainer as well, so I've got an FD trainee there. I currently pulled the practice around 2 years ago, and since then we completely refurbed the whole practice and aim to give a top quality service, same as you get in London, but within Kent. That's doing really well. We actually won Best Practice in London 2 years ago. On top of that, I've also founded the largest dental professional network online called Dental Circle, which has currently got 8,000 users. And after that, which I'm recently launching in 2 weeks' time, I'm set up a new company which is about to launch to go to market called Brushlink. Brushlink aims to give patients a way to save money from brushing better. Essentially like a Fitbit for brushing teeth, but I attach them to any toothbrush and it can record the way you brush your teeth and give you points afterwards. And those points can be then redeemed within a practice setting to give you discounts.
Right, okay. So you're very much kind of at the vanguard of a kind of a whole new breed of dental entrepreneurs. Do you mind telling the listeners how old you are?
I'm 28 years old.
28, so 28 qualified dentist. You'd think that would be kind of enough for most people to have on their plate in terms of, you know, setting up a practice and going into business that way. But you've got all these kind of other business interests as well. Yeah. What is it that drives you in that respect in terms of setting up new ventures?
I'm very technologically, you know, focused, and I think most people my age are. I mean, every single person my age and even younger than me will have a phone in their hand almost every single second of the day. Mm-hmm. And I think when you look at other technologies that are already available in other professions such as medicine, other healthcare industries, or even day-to-day life, you can just see that everyone else is progressing so quickly. Why is dentistry so far behind? I mean, Fitbit's been out for years now, as one example. There's so many other technologies now that are linking healthcare devices such as asthma pumps, for example, or diabetes monitors, back to physicians to give you better results and, you know, long-term care. And it makes access easier. And I think in our country right now, we're currently struggling with the whole National Health Service in terms of what you can and can't do because of the funding issues and because we're so short-staffed. And I think rather than keep complaining about it all the time, we might as well start, you know, trying to work out solutions to some of these problems that we're having. And I think one of the biggest problems that we always have in practices is trying to get patients to brush their teeth properly. Another problem that we had with just general kind of finding jobs, coming out of university, as you mentioned, is quite difficult. Mm-hmm. You know, you come out of university, there's so many dentists already looking for jobs as it is, saturated market. Other dentists from abroad are coming over as well, making, you know, the prices for UVA rates lower and lower. So, you know, you come out of university thinking I've got a guaranteed job, but it's not the same anymore. Mm-hmm. You're looking for two or three different part-time jobs, if that, just to get, you know, full-time work. So if they want to get better and you want to start progressing, you need to start getting, you know, your portfolio together, you can start going to courses, progression of postgraduate degrees. Mm-hmm. And if you don't do that, you're going to end up being left behind. One of the things that I did when I first graduated, so I did about 1,000 hours of CPD within 2 years. I did a lot of courses just to learn proper dentistry because, mm-hmm, unfortunately, university, they're still teaching the same things as the last 20 years, which is a bit of a shame. So after learning those courses and realizing that, you know, you have to start networking, getting yourself out there and progressing your career, we set up Dental Circle, which made sense. So in the end, I think the thing that really drives me is finding out what's wrong in the market and finding a solution to it, simple as that.
You mentioned when you were telling us a little bit about yourself, about the awards that you won, the practice best practice in London. And I mentioned you're a serial entrepreneur. You're also a serial award winner as well, in terms of Best Young Dentist at South, highly commended Aesthetic Dentistry Awards. So the awards are obviously something that are quite important to you. Do you think that, that entering awards is almost a driver for innovation, for, you know, raising the bar and trying to achieve higher?
Yes, I mean, I wouldn't say it's more to make me a better dentist than I am. I mean, it's nice to have it, but I wouldn't say it makes me any better than everyone else within the profession. I think the good thing about awards is it does make you want to, you know, progress and drive to get better, because in London especially, there's some dentists doing really good dentistry out there. And when it comes to clinical cases or your practices, you want to, you know, try to be the best in your area. And I think that strives for, you know, excellence in terms of clinical care, your team, your practice setting, as well as the fact that the way you, you know, treat patients, like customer service essentially, you want to make sure you give that 5-star service all the time. And by competing with our practices, by doing that, you're constantly pushing the bar up and up and up. And I think it's good. Like any industry, the more competition you have, the more you're going to keep putting the bar higher and higher. But I would just say, look, in the end of the day, with rewards, you know, you can get them, you don't get them, it's not making any better. But it, the good thing about having them is that it does, you know, give your practice or your profile a higher esteem when it comes to patients and marketing.
So what are your thoughts, Dev, on the entrepreneurial spirit within dentistry? If I was to stop 100 people in the street today and say, name me some industries that you would associate with innovation and entrepreneurship, I'm thinking that probably dentistry wouldn't be one of the ones that were front of mind for those people. What do you think about the, you know, the entrepreneurial spirit in dentistry today? Do you think it's kind of thriving? Do you think there needs to be more of it?
Good question. I completely agree. No one would ever say, out of 100 people you'd ask, not one of them would say that dentistry is up there at all. I mean, even the industry today, coming at this conference, you know, at the showcase, you see so many companies there and you're thinking, where is innovation here? It's just the same stuff every single year, apart from one or two companies here and there. And you've got to think, I think the problem, not a problem really, but dentists coming out of university, they do one thing, dentistry, because that's what they've been taught for 5 years, and that's what they believe in, that's what their bread and butter is, and that's what their passion is. They're not taught to do business or entrepreneur stuff, you know. It's just, it comes, you either do it or you don't do it. So it's one, you know, quite rare to have that. But at saying that, I am seeing a lot of young dentists coming out of university now, and, you know, even looking at the confidence monitors for NHS, people are thinking, what else can we do apart from dentistry? Because there are other ways of making money now, and it's not just through that being typical, you know, fillings and dental services. So you are seeing more entrepreneurial spirits from the younger generation. I think the only problem that some of them are, they don't know that how to actually make the business idea into business. Mm-hmm. And some of them are doing good things, but they're not actually taking it further. And that's not their fault, which is because they haven't been taught how to do business from, you know, from as a degree or from a young age.
So do you think that you know, there's a need to plant that seed of creativity, of entrepreneurship at university? I mean, it's an age-old thing, isn't it? You know, I've heard it ever since I've been in dentistry that, you know, dentists go to do their dental degree and they learn how to do dentistry, but they don't learn how to run a business. They don't learn how to approach kind of a business from a creative perspective. Do you think that's something that the universities really need to grab hold of and kind of bolt onto their courses?
They do, but they won't. So that's a very short answer to that. I think one of the things that, one of the good things I've seen recently is Saga Hurley has recently launched a clinical entrepreneur scheme, which for the last 2 years it was only for GPs. Right. And now this year they've allowed dentists to go into it, which is good because it's a free of charge way of, you know, connecting dentists who are entrepreneurial with mentors within the healthcare industry to actually help them, you know, progress. So that's a good stepping stone.
Yeah.
But, you know, as I said before, every university should be teaching some basic business skills, because in the day, dentistry isn't just clinical unless you work in hospital. And 90% of dentists don't work in hospital. So those ones have to buy a business, or even as associate or self-employed, you need to know basic business skills.
Or even just know how to talk about money.
Exactly. And I think, you know, just basic communication skills is a good starter. And they don't teach any of that. There's only 1% of the syllabus to do with that at university. Yeah. Even after university, they don't get taught that unless you go into courses.
Right.
You know, and it's just expensive afterwards, yeah.
So what would you say, Deb, are your key principles, your key drivers in business? What's the stuff that kind of gets you out of bed in the morning and, you know, firing on all cylinders?
I would say the four main key principles I live by are passion, if you don't have passion, you're not going to progress in anything you do. You end up just doing something poorly, you're not going to have the drive to do it every single day. Hard work, one of the things that people will stop doing these days is it's hard working harder than I used to do. I think, you know, if you work 15-hour days, you shouldn't be complaining about it. You know, it's just something you do. The number of people that I see, especially dentists coming in university or even, you know, other people from the profession, they think working 8-hour days is already a massive chore. I should be working 2-3 days a week maximum. And I think it's a shame because my parents came from Africa and they got kicked out of Africa and then came to England with nothing, you know, and they had to work, you know, I think every single day, 20 hours a day, even when they're kids and stuff, you know. It's just like, what's happened since then to now? I know I'm probably preaching to the wrong choir here, but it is quite sad because I think you've got to really work really, really hard to get anywhere. And it's even harder now than it was then because there's more people doing it. So hard work is really important. And I think the third thing is probably customer service. If you deliver a good product and you, whatever you do, whether it be dentistry or business stuff or entrepreneur stuff, as long as you do something good and you do it really well, you always succeed afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
Good value always comes from good service, and then that always means more sales at the end of it.
Cool. So I'm just interested then in terms of your ventures outside of the kind of the doing of dentistry, Brush Link, Dental Circle. What have been the kind of the main hurdles that you've had to overcome to get those projects to market?
Dental Circle was a lot easier because it was obviously an online platform, and we used our own kind of contacts initially. Most of the leading dentists in the country helped us out to get the word out there, and that just spread itself because in the day it's an obvious kind of progression, a secure platform for dentists to share cases, you know, learn, go on courses, conferences, events calendars, recruitment in one place. So that was quite simple. The Brush Link project was a lot difficult because obviously it took 2 years to make. Making a product from scratch, getting to patents, CE markings, funding, it's a completely different ballgame to what we've been doing for the last 7 years of my life. So that was a completely new kind of frontier to overcome. Quite a few hurdles that were probably not knowing what to do, mainly. Literally, I'm just finger in the air and hoping for the best.
Yeah.
Funding, I think trying to get investors to invest in something that A is not to market and B is dentistry related, not healthcare, so it's a smaller market, was difficult. But we got there in the end, so the good thing is it's made now. And I think one of the things is that when you're making a product, you don't know what goes wrong until it goes wrong, and you have to go back on it and redo it again. And I think with dentistry, I'm so used to just doing something right every single time. I'm like, oh, this is easy. You know, put an implant in, it works, and you know what clinical evidence is behind it. There's no formula or book or anything how to do a startup, and especially making products. It's not like a course you can go to how to make a product from scratch. You have to find the right manufacturers and hope that they, you know, take the product by themselves, you know.
Yeah.
But all these things, like doing legal work and even the accountancy part of it, you know, it can get quite a lot to take on.
Yeah, I can imagine. So you just to kind of wrap this up, so you split your time between practicing dentistry,
yeah,
and then doing your kind of entrepreneurial projects. Where do you see yourself kind of going in the future? Do you see kind of moving more towards one side of that equation, or do you think you'll always try and keep the balance between practicing dentistry and developing your new projects?
I'll always be a dentist, I think, even if it be one day a week or half day a week, because, you know, in the day I still have a massive passion for dentistry and helping patients. And I think all the skills I've learned and I can do well now, I think I'd be a bit ashamed not to do it again.
Mm-hmm.
And I think also one of the good things that we've got as a USP for both my companies, that as a dentist I know what's going on in the actual profession, as the actual, you know, on the floor, rather than just being from the outside looking in. And by doing that, you actually do realise that, you know, what problems are, how we can make this better for the patient and for the dentist. So with both my ventures, Dental Circle and with Brush Link, if I'm still working, I know actually if it's working for them or not and what the problems they're facing, because I'm actually doing it myself. So I always will be a dentist, and I love training as well, so I'll probably come on being an FT trainer too. But I will no doubt, you know, start doing more days in terms of the business side of it, because I have to. Being a CEO of two companies, you can't really not do anything. It's part of the job, isn't it?
So finally, and just to put you a little bit on the spot, Dev, if you had one or two hints or tips for budding entrepreneurs out there who are kind of currently in the dental space but thinking I've got some ideas and I need to move them forward, what advice would you give those people?
Number one is make a business plan. I know it sounds very kind of cheesy, but if you don't have a business plan, you don't know what you're doing with the company in the future. How do you make money from it? How are you going to monetize the services and what the competition's out there? So a lot of times you may have a good idea, but if you haven't done the research and the business plan at the beginning, it's kind of pointless. It may not have to be like a proper written up one, but as long as you've got some sort of a SWOT analysis or some sort of business plan there, you know what actually is happening in the market and the long-term plan and a strategy as well.
Wise words indeed. Dev, thanks very much for being fascinating. You're a very interesting guy, and I think one to watch within the dental world. We wish you every success with your ventures.
Thank you, Les. Cheers.